Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Go for it. I am your host, Paul Gant, and for the next hour, we're going to be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you'll get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show. blogtalkradio.com/pgant. Send messages to the show at goforitgant. GOFORITGANT. So you can hit us up there. And then make sure you go to the website, goforitgantsports.com. Great show lined up for you today. Great show. Expected to be joined by Rider University assistant basketball coach, Marlon Guild. We're going to get his thoughts on what transpired at the NBA draft, some of the moves that happened at the NBA draft. And so it's very interesting to get his take on all that. Because at the end of the day, there was a lot of moves, a lot of wheeling, a lot of dealing, a lot of things happening. And it was great. And you call it at the end of the day, it's kind of all about what's going on with the Golden State Warriors. And everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses, a.k.a. the Golden State Warriors. So you're seeing all these moves, all these teams trying to fortify themselves so they can battle the Warriors. But you see the Golden State Warriors at this point, at this time, they're not beatable. It's not. They're not a beatable team at this point. Now, here's the thing. They can become that. It's a possibility, you know, that other teams could, you know, build themselves up so they could challenge ultimately the Golden State Warriors. That's possible. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. So we heard the Cavaliers trying to get their hands on a Jimmy Butler, allegedly, reportedly. We heard teams like the Boston Celtics trying to get their hands on a Jimmy Butler, even though Danny Ainge said that was not the case. We've seen it. We've seen a lot of teams try to put themselves in a position to get their guy. And so, this is all about what's going on with the Golden State Warriors. That team out there in Golden State, like I said before, darn near unbeatable. Darn near unbeatable. I guess anybody could be beaten. Injuries can happen. Injuries are the ultimate equalizer. The ultimate equalizer. But right now, at this point in time, as the way we're the league is presently constructed, it's going to take a lot to beat the Golden State Warriors. Now, ultimately, Jimmy Butler, he was sent to Minnesota. And in a move by the Minnesota Timberwolves, you look at from a Minnesota standpoint, you get a guy in Jimmy Butler to go with what you already have in a Karl-Anthony Towns with the Andrew Wiggins. Now you get a veteran. you get a veteran, a young veteran, in Jimmy Butler, you know, top 15, top 20 type player in Jimmy Butler, and you team him up with one of the best young bigs in the game, Andrew Wiggins, one of the better swingmen in the game. You know, he can put the ball in the basket. And that definitely does some things for your team. You see, you look at the Minnesota T-Wolves, and again, a lot of talent, a lot of ability, whether that's Zach LaVine, who was a part of that deal, like I said, whether that's Wiggins or Karl-Anthony Towns. But ultimately, they needed this. They needed a guy who has won on some level, and obviously Jimmy Butler hasn't won an NBA title, but he had success in Chicago. They've gotten to Eastern Conference Finals with Jimmy Butler. So you had a guy who had some success and who has won a little bit in this league. And so you got yourself a veteran guy and Jimmy Butler. And with Jimmy Butler now, you team him up with what you already have, that could be a playoff team. And obviously you got Tom Thibodeau, who's one of the best coaches in this game. You got Tibbs, who's reunited with Butler. Butler and Tibbs had a lot of success. And so maybe that will mean success, continued success for Butler, and ultimately more success or some level of success for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But it was a good move. And I thought it was a good move for both teams. I think Chicago, if your goal, your opinion, what you need to do with your franchise, if you feel like you need to rebuild and retool, this is a good way to do it. I mean, Chris Dunn, he had some struggles last season as a rookie, but, you know, he was a rookie. You know, Zach LaVine's coming off an ACL injury, but before that, Zach LaVine played some pretty good basketball. You get Markkanen out of Arizona. I mean, so if you're the Chicago Bulls, you're about rebuilding your basketball team at this point in time, because at the end of the day, were you poised and primed to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers out there in the Eastern Conference? Probably not. So if you can't do that with the way you're presently constructed and you don't feel like you can add to that successfully, then I think your best bet is to break it down a little bit to build it back up. So I think if you look at it from the standpoint of the – like I said, good move for both basketball teams. T-Wolves, again, you get a guy in Butler that can hopefully take you to that next level, and that is the playoffs. And then, obviously, with the Chicago Bulls now and what they're doing, they're breaking it down, building back up. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I think it's, again, a good – move for both basketball teams. Good move. And so last night, obviously, Philadelphia 76ers, they go first and they get Markelle Fultz out of Washington. They get a guy in Markelle Fultz who, combination guard, goes perfect with what they have there in Philadelphia. You got Ben Simmons, who is expected to be the point guard for the Philadelphia 76ers. And you got a guy in Markelle Fultz who's a combination guard, so he can go play the one, he can play the two. You got that already. Obviously, you got Joel Embiid, Simmons, of course, Dario Saric. The Philadelphia 76ers at this point in time could be poised and primed to make the playoffs. Markelle Fultz believes it's a possibility. And I'm thinking it's a possibility. I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, Ben Simmons, he's a rookie. Didn't play at all last year. Joel Embiid, he hasn't proven that he can stay healthy. Played, what, 37 games last year. But if those two guys, Simmons can play a full season, I'm not saying he's going to be big time. Obviously, he still has to work on that jump shot. And maybe he worked on it to a point where it's at a good level during the time he was away. We'll see. But you got Joel Embiid, obviously, who's a beast. Hopefully he can stay healthy. You got Dario Saric, who easily could be the rookie of the year. and who's played some big time, who played big time basketball for the Philadelphia 76ers near the end of last season. So there is talent in Philadelphia. Heck, the fan base out there is excited. What, 14,000, what, season tickets, new season tickets for the Philadelphia 76ers? I mean, you got that thing going on right now. The fans are excited. And here's the thing in Philadelphia. They haven't seen some good basketball in a long time since the process. And obviously, in Philadelphia, we trusted the process. I'm a Philadelphia 76ers fan, and I'm one of the ones who trusted the process. Now, there were a lot who didn't trust the process, who didn't like the idea of purposely losing with the possibility and all to get lottery picks, high lottery picks. The thing about it is, Sam Hinkie did one heck of a job building and gathering assets. And in the process of gathering these assets, now he's parlaying these assets into Markelle Fultz. I mean, they went from 3-1 because of the assets that they had. So they're parlaying those assets now and now into a Markelle Fultz. And now this Philadelphia team, now the process is over. It's time now for the Philadelphia 76ers to win. And again, winning might not mean the playoffs next year. It may not. But I think they're going to win 30-plus, if not 40 games next year. 30-plus, 40 games. Now, if you win around 40 games in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference, you have a decent shot to make the playoffs. Looking at last year, Chicago Bulls, they made the playoffs 41-41. So it takes around 40 to 42 games for you to, you know, you got to win 40 to 42 games for you to make it into the playoffs. Look at the Western Conference, same deal, Portland, 41-41. So it seems like 40 to 42 games is going to get you into the playoffs. And if I look at the Philadelphia 76ers last year, they won 28 games. But in the process of winning those 28 games, they had guys who missed a considerable amount of time, and their best player, Joel Embiid, missed a considerable amount of time. Their best player, Embiid, what, played 37 games last year. Part of it rest, 31 games. Part of it rest, part of it injury. But a guy like Joel Embiid, if he can stay healthy, and just based off, you know, the sample size that we've seen from Joel Embiid, and based off of some of the things he did during that short window, I mean, the guy during that short window was only averaging 25 minutes a game, but guess what? He was scoring and averaging 20 points per outing, 20 points per game. He was averaging 20 points a game on only 25 minutes. Darn near a point a minute for Joel Embiid. So, and obviously he was on a minutes restriction last year. So if those 25 minutes go up to 30 to 35 minutes, if he can stay healthy, go from 31 to maybe 70 to 75 games, he's going to average probably what, around 25 per. He averaged 7.8 boards per game. Those rebound numbers with the extra minutes is probably going to go up as well. So you won 28 games with your best player not there. You won 28 games with the number one pick in Ben Simmons not there. So, and oh, by the way, I'm not saying Jared Bayless is a star, but you didn't have the services of Jared Bayless as well. So if you look at the Philadelphia 76ers, the way they're presently constructed, with what they have at this point in time, they could make the playoffs. Markelle Fultz believes they can make the playoffs, and I agree with him. I agree with him. Now, like I said, a lot of things have to happen. And I don't know if it's a lot of things per se. I mean, Embiid needs to stay healthy. Simmons needs to stay healthy. And Fultz needs to stay healthy. But I just told you, they won 28 games without their best player. So, does Joel Embiid last year mean 12 games? I don't know. Maybe six. That's 34. Ben Simmons. So if we say Joel Embiid gets you six games, okay? All right, let's go with that premise. Get you six more, maybe. Six, seven more. You miss a lot of time. Let's say you get six, seven more. And Ben Simmons gives you another five. That's 12 games there. And then you got Markelle Fultz. And again, I'm kind of throwing some numbers out there. And I can't say I completely can support those numbers. But I'm throwing them out there anyway. But the Philadelphia 76ers, there is a lot of excitement. There is a lot of excitement. 14,000. It sold a record, 14,000, a Sixers record, 14,000 season tickets for next season. They are excited in Philadelphia, and you would be excited in Philadelphia if you were a Philadelphia 76ers fan, if you went through the process. Because the process, although necessary, not very fun. Not very exciting. Not something you enjoyed watching. And I'm going to be honest with you. Lifelong Philadelphia 76ers fan. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to keep it 100 with you, as they like to say, in them streets. I, at times, rooted for this basketball team to lose. I rooted for them to lose because I knew what we were looking to do, what they were looking to do. They were looking to lose in order to win. And that winning wasn't supposed to happen last year, wasn't really supposed to happen the year before that. But the Sixers were stuck in the middle when Sam Hinkie came. Good enough to make it to the playoffs, 7th, 8th seed. Bad enough not to advance. Stuck in the middle. Stuck in the middle. And so, I'm happy where the Sixers are at this point. I'm excited about where the Sixers are at this point. And playoffs are a possibility next year in Philadelphia. Speaking of playoffs, LaVar Ball. And I look at LaVar Ball and Lonzo Ball. First and foremost, LaVar Ball put it into the universe, put it into the atmosphere, and it came to fruition. LaVar Ball and Lonzo Ball going to the Lakers as predicted by LaVar Ball. Let's be honest. You knew once the Lakers got to number two pick in the NBA draft that Lonzo Ball to LA was going to happen. You heard some things, and maybe that was the Lakers trying to check LaVar Ball for and Lonzo Ball on some level, like, you know what, pipe it down here. This maybe that's their way of piping it down by, you know, getting reports out. Oh, Lonzo first workout, guy wasn't in shape. Da 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 da. Lakers are, you know, said to be high on Josh Jackson, so on and so forth. I think those things were put into the universe, put into the media, put out there by the Los Angeles Lakers because I think they wanted to, you know, bring down the Ball family just a little bit. Bring them down a little bit. Hey, just chill a little bit. You know, we probably are going to draft you, but don't, you know, you need to settle down here. Stay in your lane, as LaVar Ball likes to say. But you need to settle down here a little bit. Yeah, we probably going to draft Lonzo. Yeah, he's going to be a Laker. But you just need to relax a little bit, all right? And I think that's what the Lakers were doing. Just checking the Ball family, if you will. And I think that's what transpired. I knew the Lakers were drafting Lonzo Ball. It just made too much sense. The guy, as Tracy Murray said on this show a few weeks ago, he's magic-like. He's a guy. I'm not saying he's Magic Johnson. Tracy Murray says he's magic-like. I'm saying in a sense, you know, you got the Jason Kidd comparisons as well, but he's a guy who's perfect for that franchise. He's a guy that can slide right in, and I think can help them make, you know, help make them a winner. I'm not saying he's – and I think Lonzo Ball is going to be a solid pro. Is he going to be a star? Is he going to be Jason Kidd? Is he going to be Matt Johnson? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. Possibility, sure. But I think he's going to be solid. I think he's going to be a solid point guard in this league. And I think ultimately, as I've said on these airways before, if he's a solid point guard, if he's solid, and well, let me put it this way. Solid might not sell a whole bunch of $495 shoes. And he did drop a new shoe last night, the Zotope Showtime, Laker colors. But he, Lonzo Ball, I mean, I think it'd be a solid pro. But again, if he wants to sell a whole bunch of shoes this year, he's got to ball out. Excuse the pun. But if he balls out, then guess what? He's going to sell some shoes, and that's going to be good for the big baller brand. But you got LeVar Ball saying that the Lakers are going to make it to the playoffs next year. And, I mean, first and foremost, we have to see what happens to the whole Paul George situation. If they can get their hands on Paul George, yeah, I guess the playoffs are a possibility this year. But as you look at the Lakers, you know, Brandon Ingram, is he going to be a year better? You know, Julius Randle, is he going to improve? Obviously, you add Lonzo Ball to what you already have in L.A. You also are going to get a Brook Lopez, which is going to help. But is this a playoff team? I mean, I'm just looking in the Western Conference. It's not like this is the East. This is the Western Conference now. And so I'm looking at the Western Conference. We did say 41 games is what it took in both conferences to make it to the playoffs, and that was the AFC. But I look at the Eastern Conference. I mean, excuse me, the Western Conference. Are they better than Portland? Are they? Well, let's look at it this way. Let's look at the teams that did not make it last season. Denver barely missed the playoffs last year. They could be a year better. New Orleans Pelicans, you know, they made that addition late in the offseason, bringing in a DeMarcus Cousins. And, you know, you have Anthony Davis there. Jrue Holiday, he missed some time because dealing with the situation with his wife. But when he came back, they played much better basketball. And so you expect the Pelicans to be a year better and maybe a full training camp with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. You know, they can put that thing together and get that thing right. Have the Lakers leapfrogged them? Dallas Mavericks, are the Lakers better than them? Sacramento Kings. You know, they got De'Aaron Fox. And I'm not saying, here's the thing. I'm not saying that, you know, this ball club, the Sacramento Kings with De'Aaron Fox is going to get them to the playoffs. But, and actually I think the Lakers are probably better than the Kings. They're probably better than the Kings. But are they better than the Pelicans? Are they better than the Mavericks? Are they better than the Minnesota Timberwolves who brought in a Jimmy Butler? Are they that much better? I don't see the playoffs for the Lakers. Are they better than Portland who made it in the eighth spot? Are they better than the Grizz? OKC, Utah. I mean, Clippers, Houston. I mean, obviously not that great. I'm going up a little too high. But let's say it's 7-8. Let's go 6-7-8. OKC, Memphis, and Portland. Are they better than those teams at this point in time? I would have to say no. And then you got the Nuggets, Pelicans, and Mavericks, Kings, and Timberwolves. Only team they might be better than is the Sacramento Kings. So in terms of the playoffs? In terms of the playoffs for Lonzo Ball and the Los Angeles Lakers, I think LeVar needs to stay in his lane a little bit. LeVar, stay in your lane, and you need to get out of the prediction business because I don't see that happen. I will say this, Lamar. You got a pedigree because you did say that Lonzo was coming to Los Angeles. You put it in the atmosphere. You put it in the universe, and it happened. You're also putting into the universe that the Lakers are going to make it to the playoffs, and the way things are presently constructed, that won't happen. But again, you get your hands on a Paul George, that changes things. Brandon Ingram, he becomes better, that changes things. But does it change it enough where we're saying that the Los Angeles Lakers are a playoff team? I don't think so. I could be wrong. I may be wrong.
But I doubt it.
I doubt it. I really do. But I'm interested to see now what the Lakers are going to be next season. I'm interested to see what the Lakers are going to be next season. And I'm interested to see what Lonzo Ball and what he's going to bring to the table next season, because everybody's coming at him. They're coming at him hard. You got, Joel Embiid out there on Twitter. And what a Twitter follower. Joel Embiid is. I mean, what a follower he is. He's exciting, man. He says some funny stuff. He's a hilarious dude. But Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons talking about, Joel Embiid telling Ben Simmons to make sure he dunks on him hard, and so his daddy will run out to the court and all that good stuff. I mean, Kyrie Irving said, he's going to go at Lonzo Ball. De'Aaron Fox believes that a lot of players are going to go at Lonzo Ball. I believe a lot of players are going to go at Lonzo Ball because at the end of the day, LaVar Ball has talked some more, and he's just building him up. And ultimately, you build somebody up like that who's never played in the National Basketball Association, could be a problem. People are going to want to come at him. People are going to want to come at him. And a lot of people, like I said, are going to come at him. They're coming at him. Are you ready? Can you do it? Are you ready? Because a lot of people are coming for you, and they're going to come hard. We'll see if he's ready. If he ain't ready, he better get ready. Because at the end of the day, teams are going to come hard for Lonzo Ball. And it's all because of his daddy. Good daddy. And don't get me wrong, I won't say a negative thing about LaVar Ball to that. There's a lot of dudes who had a lot of babies who ain't in the lives of their children, who ain't taking care of their children, who ain't being responsible for their children, who ain't doing what they need to do in the lives of their kids. There is a lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of men out here who ain't handling their business. So you will never, ever, ever hear me talking negative about LaVar Ball, the dad. Do I think LaVar needs to rein it in a little bit? A little bit, yeah. Yeah, that would be a good idea. Not a bad idea. That'd be a good idea for LaVar to rein it in just a little bit. He could do that, sure. But in terms of LaVar Ball, the father, I can't knock that, man. I can't knock that, man. There are too many dads, fathers, not doing what they need to do for me to knock him. Now, if he wasn't doing what he needed to do as a father, then obviously we can start knocking him. Obviously we can knock him. But he's doing what he has to do as a father. And I'm not going to knock a man who's doing this thing as a father. I'm not going to do it. You can. I'm not. Again, I do think he needs to rein in it a little bit. I do think he enjoys this publicity maybe just a smidge too much. But I'm not knocking him, because he's doing things, like I said, that a lot of men ain't doing it. Shout out to LeVar Ball, the dad, who helped put his sons in position to have the level of success that they've had. I mean, they've had a level of success right now where, you know, these guys, whether it's Lonzo, you got LiAngelo Ball, who's going to UCLA next year. You got LaMelo Ball, who's doing some big things on the high school level. So you got some ballers, excuse the pun, within the Ball family. And Lonzo is the biggest baller. But that probably doesn't happen without LeVar Ball being the father that he is. Let's go to the Knicks now. And the New York Knicks, all you can do is laugh. And if you're a Knicks fan, all you probably can do is cry. Because you got a Phil Jackson now who's out here talking about, I'm getting rid of, Kristaps Porzingis blew off the exit meetings, and no one's never done that to me in 25, 30 years. And so on and so forth. You're talking about trading a 21-year-old stud in Kristaps Porzingis. 7'3", the unicorn. A guy who at 7'3", can run the floor, do things off the dribble, block shots, all those things, and you're talking about getting rid of that guy? And obviously, in the process of trying to get rid of that guy, you know, you were expecting to get, you were looking for a lot. The price tag was high, apparently. Price tag was high. And if there was any team that possibly could meet that price tag, it would be the Boston Celtics. And it would be the Boston Celtics, because the Boston Celtics got assets after assets after assets. They got a lot of assets. Danny Ainge, a la Sam Hinkie, has found a way to build up the roster and get a lot of assets. Now, he didn't do it the Hinkie way, which is just deplete the roster and lose on purpose. He didn't do it that way. Did it a little differently. But, Boston Celtics are in a good position. In a very good position. And so they got assets to kind of throw around. And in the process of, you know, having all these assets, maybe you could throw those assets out there to get a Paul George. Maybe you could throw those assets out there Jimmy Butler is not there, but maybe you could throw those financial assets out there to get yourself a Gordon Hayward. So if you look at the Boston Celtics at this point in time, Boston, to me, is a team that would have been a perfect spot for Kristaps Porzingis. And from, you know, the standpoint of assets, Boston seemingly would have been the team that would have given you the necessary assets to make a deal like that possible. You know, there was reports, Jaylen Brown, Jay Crowder, and the number 3 pick, I believe, for Porzingis that was out there. I mean, so there were some things that were out there, but obviously it wasn't enough to make the Pacers bite. And so Paul George is out there. And obviously Paul George is said to want to be in L.A. with the Lakers. Paul George wants to be in L.A. with the Lakers. And so with that being said, being that Paul George wants to be in L.A. with the Lakers, obviously, it makes it difficult for the Pacers. it makes it difficult because at the end of the day, if you're Boston, you get a Paul George, you don't know if Paul George is going to stick and stay. You don't know that. Now, from my standpoint, in terms of a Paul George and him sticking and staying, if I look at Paul George, you know, I look at a Paul George as a guy who obviously gets you closer to the Cavaliers. And if you look at it from the standpoint of what Paul George may or, you know, what the Patriots might do. You know, I saw the Lakers throwing, you know, some reported deals out there from the Lakers standpoint. It wasn't that great. And so if I'm the Pacers, some of the deals the Lakers were throwing out, I wouldn't have taken those either. But if you're the Lakers, even though you know Paul George really wants to be in L.A., can you really risk, let's just say the Boston, Cleveland doesn't have the assets. You know, Cleveland does not have the assets. Let's be honest. They don't have the assets to get their hands on a Paul George. Who wants a Kevin Love? Who wants an Iman Shumpert? Who wants a J.R. Smith? Kevin Love's no scrub, but who, I mean, is he really the guy for your basketball team? So here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you're the Lakers, again, do you want to risk Paul George going to, let's say Paul George goes to Boston. You know, but Celtics have a level of success. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. Who knows, in addition to Paul George, maybe he takes them to that next step, which is the NBA Finals. And let's just say in the process of Paul George taking the Boston Celtics to the NBA Finals, let's say Paul George ends up loving it in Boston. And that's not out of the realm of possibility where Paul George would love Boston. I mean, especially if you're winning. And a tradition that you have out there in Boston. I mean, Boston has a tradition, you know, in Boston, you know, the 17 titles and so on and so forth. It's a great basketball town. And so Boston, you know, let's just say Paul George goes there, ends up liking it, ends up having a level of success and says, you know what? Let me stay. I like it here. Let me stay. I like it here. Or let's just say he goes to San Antonio, another team that was possibly linked to the to Paul George and the Pacers. What if he goes to San Antonio, has a level of success, says, you know what? I like it here. I want to stay here. You know, let's just say wherever he goes. Let's just say he goes to Washington. I don't know if Washington has enough. But let's just say he goes to Washington with the Wizards. Goes there, ends up liking it, says, hey, I like it here. I want to stay. You can't take chances. You can't. You really can't. If you're the Lakers, you can't. And so if you're the Lakers, I don't think you could take that chance. I don't know if you could take that chance. Or maybe you have to find a way to gather assets to get a Paul George. Paul George is not going to be in Indiana. You know, he's made it clear that he wants out. And here's also the thing. One point in time, Kobe Bryant demanded a trade. And then at one point in time, he backed off. There's always the possibility you get Paul George in Indiana. And I'm not saying how much, you know, I don't know how much success they can have in Indiana this year. But let's just say they have a level of success. And, you know, Paul George ends up, you know, having a decent year. The Pacers have a decent year. Maybe get to the second round of the playoffs. Maybe win, 50 games or so. Let's just say they have that type of success. A lot can happen in a year. And you can convince a guy to do some things within that year. A lot can happen. Now, I'm not saying that's what the Pacers are going to do. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. But what I'm saying is a lot can happen in a year. And if you have a guy for a year, maybe you can convince him to stay. You can make the most money in Indiana. You can't get supermax because you had to be on the NBA, at least first team, I believe. But anyway, he's not eligible for the supermax. And so that kind of makes Indiana a little less desirable because he can't get that supermax. But at the same time, Indiana could give him the most money. They can give him the most money. And so, like I said, it's like this. I'll put it to you like this. Hypothetically speaking, you know, you and your wife are together. And, you know, you and your wife decide we're going to get a divorce. But in the process of getting a divorce, we're going to stay together for a year. You know, we're going to stay in the same house for a year. And within that time, within that year, you know, ultimately you're going to get yourself together. Ultimately, I'm going to get myself together. And then we're going to move on to whatever we need to move on to. That's what we're going to do. We're going to move on to where we need to do. You know, we're going to move on. You do your thing, I do my thing. Within that year of living with that particular person, within that year, and by the way, the supermax parameters, you have to be on an all NBA team. Paul George was not on that, therefore he was not eligible for the supermax. But anyway, you're living with your significant other for a year, even though you're getting a divorce, even though you're going down that road. But ultimately, you guys start to figure it out on some level. Ultimately, you guys start to get along better. Ultimately, you guys, you know, while you hated each other at one point, you start to draw closer. That could happen. It's always the possibility. Again, we all know Paul George reportedly wants to go to the Lakers. That's out there. But can you take that chance? And I say no. You cannot take that chance where Paul George is out there with Boston for a year as a rental player, with a San Antonio for a year as a rental player. You can't take that chance. You can't. You can't. You really can't. And so I get it. I get it. If you're the Lakers, you know, obviously you're in the process of you know, shedding some contracts, getting your cap space right so you can get a Paul George and even possibly a LeBron James. But at the same time, do you want to be in that position? I mean, obviously it would be better for you to probably wait if you can, and if you darn near have a guarantee that Paul George is going to come. That would be the better move. Because, hey, you don't have to get rid of some of your assets that you have. And you can add to, you know, you can bring a Paul George in to add to what you have, not necessarily take away from what you have. You know, and so I look at that from that standpoint, you know, I understand that. I get that. I get that. But I'm just saying again. I don't think you can take that chance where you have a Paul George dangling out there. You got a situation where Paul George is in Boston and loving it, is in San Antonio and loving it. You cannot. I don't know. That would be a risk because anything is possible. And again, if you're in Indiana, maybe if Paul George sticks around, if you keep him this whole year, maybe Paul George will end up loving it in Indiana again and, you know, end up wanting to stay in Indiana. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll definitely see. But at the end of the day, Paul George is in Indiana at this point, And we'll see if Paul George is going to make his way to whether it's L.A., whether it's Boston. They have the assets. But whether it is St. James Spurs. We were supposed to talk about Kristaps Porzingis, and I got thrown off into another loop into Paul George. But let's reel back into Porzingis. So if you're the Knicks, why would you want to get rid of Porzingis? I mean, exit meeting, great. Who cares? A 21-year-old guy like Porzingis and all the things that he can do, you just don't give something like that up. And to me, if you were drafting today and Porzingis was in the draft, you're probably taking Porzingis as the number one pick. Like I said, he's 7'3", block shots, run the floor, do things off the dribble, can shoot it. I mean, he can do a lot of things that a lot of guys can't do at his size. He's a unicorn. Guys like him don't come around every day. It's very difficult to find a 7'3 guy who can put the ball in the basket, a 7'3 guy who not only can put the ball in the basket, but a 7'3 guy that can block shots and is a solid, decent defender. That's difficult to find. And so you can't risk that. You can't. And so I look at it from that standpoint, and I'm saying this. Bill Jackson, I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know what's going through your head. I don't know what's going through your mind. I don't get it. I don't get why you would want to trade a Kristaps Porzingis. I don't get why you would want to get rid of him. I don't get it. I understand you want to try to trade Melo. I get that. You know Melo reportedly wants to stay. I get why you would want to trade Melo. That makes sense. You know, that makes sense. You can't win with Melo right now. Melo's fault? No, not at all. But you can't win with Melo right now. So I get that. That part I get. What I don't get, obviously, is Kristaps Porzingis. Are you purposely trying to are you trying to sabotage the Knicks? Are you being a saboteur, if you will? I mean, what are you trying to do? What is your motive? What is your goal? What are you trying to do? Because your moves are not making sense. They're not. Your moves don't add up. It's not computing. It's not coming together. So I don't get it. I don't get it. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if the Knicks actually move him. And again, they would be absolute fools to move Kristaps Porzingis. Fools. And to think that you would be able to replace that guy, a player of that caliber, that might be pretty difficult. That might be pretty difficult. Now, so we got Paul George, who is still out there. You got Jimmy Butler, who's off to Minnesota. Those were kind of the two big guys, if you will. Now at this point, we look at the Cavaliers. And if there's any team that can beat the Golden State Warriors in a seven-game series, and I guess you could kind of throw San Antonio there as well. You know, obviously Kawhi Leonard went down. They were up 20-plus points in game one. If Kawhi Leonard stays in that ball game, they probably get that game. Can't say that definitively because Golden State can explode, but they probably win that game and probably win 2 to 3 games within that series. So anyway, Cavaliers probably has the best shot to beat the Golden State Warriors. And so being that the Cavaliers have the best shot to beat the Golden State Warriors, if I look at the Cavaliers and I look at that basketball team, I say to myself in looking at that team that, look, obviously guys, teams don't want Kevin Love. They don't want some of the things that you're offering. But guess what? Dwayne Wade's situation in Chicago might be a little different now. He did say he's going to opt in. He said he's going to opt in. But his situation in Chicago might look a little different now. Maybe there's a buyout on some level. So his situation is different. Maybe a Dwayne Wade is a guy that you look at in terms of bringing Dwayne Wade into Cleveland. Is that going to get you over the top and beat the Golden State Warriors? Not sure, but it helps. Carmelo Anthony. You know, at one point, if you look at Melo, there was reports that the Clippers didn't even have to include their one of their big three in order to get Melo last year. So Melo obviously can be had. Phil Jackson reiterated that. He reiterated that. And so, being that he reiterated that the other day, it would be, you would think that Melo obviously would be available, may not be available, maybe available for not much. So if you're Cleveland, you struck out with Butler, Paul George is still out there, but you probably don't have the assets to get him, so you're probably going to strike out there. At this point, you're not good enough to beat the Golden State Warriors. We've seen that. So being that Melo's situation in New York is tenuous at best, maybe that is the option you go. Maybe if Melo ultimately gets bought out, you do some things on that market, on the buyout market, and see if you can get Melo to come to Cleveland. Obviously, he may not ask for a lot of money because he's gotten his money if he's bought out. So maybe you give Melo you offer him a salary that obviously he'd be comfortable with, and obviously would you would be able to do, being that your salary cap is what it is. I think at this point the Cavaliers need to go after that market. The Cavaliers need to dig deep into the buyout market, and that buyout market could include a Dwayne Wade. That buyout market could include a Carmelo Anthony. But you got to buy, you got to find a way to get your team better. You're not beating Golden State with the team you currently have. And you better watch out, because Boston's coming. You know, maybe the addition of Jason Tatum, maybe an addition of Hayward. Maybe, you know, you still got those assets. Maybe you can still continue to talk to the Knicks and get a Porzingis. So you still, if you're Boston, you still have options because you still have assets. So Cleveland, I think, you know, at the end of the day, the way they're presently constructed, good enough to get out of the Eastern Conference. We've seen that they ran through the Eastern Conference. Ran through it. No issues, no problems at all. Obviously, once you run into the Golden State Warriors, different animal, different beast, whole different situation, whole nother level at this point in time. But again, if you look at Cleveland, they don't have what it takes to acquire a guy that can help get them to that next level. And they're already at a high level. But next level is beating the Golden State Warriors. Cleveland can do everything in the National Basketball Association except beat the Golden State Warriors. Cleveland can do a whole bunch of different things. A whole lot of things. Only thing they can't do is beat the Golden State Warriors. They can beat any team properly in a 7-game series. Except the Golden State Warriors. San Antonio would be tough. San Antonio would be tough for the Cavaliers. But they can do it. I still think they can win that series. But they can beat any team in a 7-game series except the Warriors. So if you're in that position, you're LeBron. You have LeBron James now, 32 years old. How long Can he keep this going? How long? And then you got a situation with LeBron. He can opt out next season. So, being that he can opt out next season, you better make sure, that you put a team around this guy. You better make sure, and I'm not saying you don't have a team. You got a very good team around this guy. But you better make sure you try to put a team around this guy that can beat, the Golden State Warriors. They tried Kyle Korver. They tried Darren Williams. Derek Williams as well. They tried. I mean, David Griffin tried it. David Griffin is no more in Cleveland. And so now you have what seems to be some turmoil in your front office. It's unsettled there. And so you got to figure out what you're going to do there. It seems like big shot Chauncey Billups is going to be the guy who is going to possibly run that organization. Reports are LeBron is cool with that. So you got a big shot Billups who might be the guy running that organization next season and beyond. So if you're Cleveland, again, your objective obviously is to beat the Golden State Warriors, and also another objective is to make sure that LeBron is happy. We've seen what Cleveland was with LeBron. We've seen, unfortunately for Cavs fan, what Cleveland was without LeBron. We've seen what Miami was with LeBron. Unfortunately for Heat fans, we've seen what the Heat are and were without LeBron. A little better in Miami than it was in Cleveland, but at the end of the day, not as much success. Not at all. So, we know what's out there. And we know that Cleveland, and the thing about Cleveland is, how many people want to live in Cleveland? Now I'm not against Cleveland, but let's be real about the situation. How many people want to live in Cleveland, Ohio? Not a lot. There is not a lot of people who want to live in Cleveland, Ohio. Let's just keep it real. So with that being said, being that there's a lot of people who do not want to live in Cleveland, Ohio, a lot of people who don't like Cleveland, Ohio, you're in a situation, being that you have a guy who's from Akron, Ohio, being that you have a guy who likes to be in Ohio, you better make that guy happy because he already went to Miami and reports are maybe he can go to Los Angeles, you know, at the end of next season. And LA is for a lot of people. It really is. A lot more desirable than Cleveland, Ohio. So, take it for what it is. But if you're LeBron James and you're Cleveland, you better make LeBron James happy. We were supposed to be joined by Marlon Guild. Ran into a few things. We'll get him on in a future date. You can listen to this show and other great shows, blogtalkradio.com/PGant, where you can listen to this show. Another great show. Follow us on Twitter at Go4Again. Like us on Facebook at Go4Again. Subscribe to us on YouTube at Go4Again. The website, GoForAgainSports.com. And that's GoForAgainGant. So hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Go to the website, GoForAgainSports.com. For everybody here, go for it. We hope you have a great weekend. See you later. We'll see you next week. And next week, we're going to be joined by a couple stars from All Eyes on Me. So make sure you check out Go For It next week. See you later. Take care. Bye.